All right, I'm thinking about maybe, and we got communion today, so I'm going to get right into this. I'm thinking about I may need to start a book of Proverbs by Mark. Proverbs by Mark. Because I'm going to put this phrase up, and I'm going to tell you two things that happened to me this week. And don't get nervous. I do have some birds in the congregation, and we're still going around with the bird stuff, okay? But I had two things happen to me this week, and the Lord put this phrase into my heart. So it's all credit and glory to God Himself. Everybody listening to me? I'm not this smart. This is God speaking to me, for you and me. And so I want you to hear this sentence or this proverb. People will be more inclined to do something for you if they want to, not if they have to. Say it with me. People will be more inclined to do something for you. What happened to y'all? Are you already out of energy? Let's try that one more time with some rhythm. So let's just use something we've already talked about this morning. My prayer is that you want to come to our Bible study on February the 28th, not that you have to come. My prayer is that you would want to come to this Bible study, not that you have to come. So I've been having some wonderful times with the Lord on my way to work. I've quit listening to any kind of radio, sports talk, any of that junk. And I've just been praising God and singing psalms to Him. And I asked Him a while back, I said, Lord, give me as many opportunities as you can for me to be able to minister. That was my prayer. So Wednesday, I got a call on my cell phone. Now, normally, I don't take my calls on my cell phone if I don't recognize the number. But in tax season, somehow or another, people get my cell number. And it could be a $1,000 tax client. And as long as it's a local number, I'll answer the phone. So the phone rang. It was a local looking number, and I answered the phone, and sure enough, this guy said, is this Life in Christ Church? And of course, my heart dropped, because most of the time when they ask that question, they're looking for something. They're looking for me to give them something. And I said, yeah, I said, this is Life in Christ Church. I'm the Bible teacher there. And he said, do y'all help out with stuff? And I thought, oh no, here we go. Because we've been burned so many times by so many people. We've even gotten into situations where people have scolded me and said that it was my obligation as a Christian to give to them. And so what I always did in the past is I said two things. Number one, are you working? And number two, are you going to church? And I remember one time a lady got on my case so bad, she said, that's none of your business. And she said, it's your obligation as a Christian to help me out. And so obviously I didn't help her out. Because people are more inclined to do something for you if they want to, not if they have to. So I thought, here we go, here we go. He said, y'all do anything to help people out? I said, what's going on? And he said, my pipes broke at my house. And I don't have any water. And he said, I can't get the pipes fixed until Friday when I get paid. And so I thought, you know, can you pay for the plumber, blah, 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 blah. He said, I need water for my little ones until Friday. I said, wait a minute now. I said, wait, whoa, whoa. I said, I was at Fry's this week and got water for the office. And it's on sale for $3.97. And he said, yeah, that's how broke I am. But he said, I just can't stand the thoughts of my kids not having water to drink. I said, meet me at Fry's right now. I'm leaving my office. Meet me at Fry's, and I'll go buy you a 48-case bottle of water for $3.97. Isn't that cool? So I go to Fry's. He said, what are you driving? I said, oh, I'm driving a 1967 Volkswagen. all beat up and broken down. He said, what are you driving? I said, I'm driving a Mercedes, bought and paid for. He said, well, I'll be looking for that Mercedes. He said, how you spell it? No, he didn't. I go to Fry's. Here's all he wants is a $3.97 case of water so he can have it for his kids. And I pull into Fry's, and there, sure enough, there's the gentleman. I look around, and I wave at him, and he waves at me. And he's got his shirt on that he's going to go to work at a chain restaurant here in town. He's a cook, and he's got to go to work. And he came up to me, and I got a booklet by Andrew Womack and one of my cards. And I said, here you go. I know I used to keep a couple hundred dollars on me all the time in my wallet, but nowadays all you got to do is use your debit card everywhere. And so I don't get that alarm when I get below 200. But this guy came to me in that chain restaurant shirt going to cook that day, knowing that he was going to have a plumber come in and fix his pipes on Friday. And all he asked me for was $3.97 for a case of water. So I pulled my wallet out without any, I didn't want anybody to see me. I wasn't looking for any glorification. I didn't care if anybody, you know, I wasn't doing anything. And I gave him every dollar I had in my wallet. Now, thank God I hadn't gone to the bank and got $300. But I think I had about $50 in there. You know why I did that? You know why I wanted to? Because he touched my heart. Because he wasn't asking for me to pay his rent for the next 2 months. He wasn't asking for me to, if you don't come over and get, they're going to shut my lights out. He didn't judge me and say, well, it's your obligation to give to me. Aren't you a Christian? What a guy. And I told him, I'm on the radio every morning, every Sunday from 8 to 9, and listen to it. Anyway, it just touched my heart. Everybody cool with that? People, say it with me. People will be more inclined. So then, on Friday, we're in tax season, but it's slow the first couple of weeks of February. My clients, I don't do a lot of just real simple tax returns. Most of my clients have brokerage accounts and with brokers and stuff like that, and those things don't even get out to the 15th of February, and now they don't get them out to most people until March the 1st. So we stay busy, but not extremely busy. So I have a TV in my conference room and a lounge chair. When Jordan worked for me last year, he's not working for me this year because he's got a high-powered job and he don't need me anymore. But when he worked for me last year, I told him, I said, Jordan, whatever you do, don't ever let anybody come all the way back here to see me sitting in my lounge chair with a blanket over me. I want them to think I'm in there plugging numbers. So one of my best clients, a little short lady, sweetest lady in the world, Christian lady, plays the piano or the organ for the Lutheran church, loves God, just a sweet lady, lost her son this year, love her dearly, just, and she's one of my best clients. So she comes in to get her taxes done. And, you know, we've got such a relationship with a lot of my clients, they just start walking to the office, which I'm all right with. Depends on who it is. Donnie and Becky have permission. So she starts walking to the office. I guess Jordan thought she was going to make it to the conference room because that's where I was. And he says, ma'am, I'm sorry, you can't go there. You just can't go there. She said, I can't go there? No, she said, I'll have to go get my dad. So anyway, I come out as Billy. And she's, anyway, so how'd that fit in? So I'm sitting in the conference room on Friday, and all I watch is YouTube TV. Not necessarily, I got the YouTube TV network, but I've also got YouTube, just YouTube. The reason I do that is because I've Andrew Womack's on there, Bible teachers are on there, and I get enough snippet of news that I don't have to stay engrossed in it, okay? And so I'm back there, and also, we're in what's called the two worst weeks of sports. There's no football for 2 weeks. Nothing. Just college basketball with the worst referees in the history of mankind. And LeBron James on the NBA. He owns ESPN. Amen. We don't want to watch that, do we? No. No, we don't. So I'm on YouTube back there in the office, and I see a program by a guy that I know, that I have respect for, that's associated with some other ministers that I know, and it says how to stay spiritually strong. And it's a 52-minute thing. I don't like to get into an hour and a half. You know, come on now. I'm sanctified, but now, you know, 52. So I click on it, I click on it. Now, listen to me. I click on the program. It's how to stay spiritually strong. And so what it turns out to be is it's seven things. Listen very carefully. It's seven things you must. Everybody say must. It's seven things you must do to stay spiritually strong. Not correct. Don't ever throw the word must in there. Soon as you throw the word must in there, Adam and Eve will rise up in you and say, I'm going to eat of that tree. Don't you tell me what I can't do. Don't you tell me what I got to do. And so it was seven things you must do to stay spiritually strong. And it was seven things that I'm pretty much doing except one of them. I won't tell you the one. The one's impossible for me to do because you're supposed to talk to your mentor every day. Well, I don't, Frank, I figure you're busy. I can't call you every morning. But you're supposed to talk to your mentor every day, and I can't do that. I don't have a mentor. I don't know anybody in town that knows as much as I do. I'm joking. Quit. Hush. Don't judge me. And so he starts these seven things you must do to stay spiritually strong. And every one of them, he starts with this. Every day. And then he says to everybody, say every day. He says every day. And then he says, say every day. Every day you must do this. You see, he hadn't been to grace school. You see, I don't want you to read your Bible because you have to. I want you to read your Bible because you want to. You see, I don't want you to come to my house on February the 28th for Bible study because you have to. I want you to come because you want to. You see, I want you to put money in that basket, in that offering bag back there that's got Donnie all upset because I've took his, God forbid I'd ever take your seats from you. Oh, Lord, no. It's got to get away. Those are my pews. I paid for them. I don't want you to put money in that bag back there because you have to. I want you to put money in that bag because you want to. These are proverbs that God gives me to share with people, and anybody that's got an IQ of 70 can get it. It's not hard. This was terrible. The people in the congregation were, you could tell, they were like, how much longer? How much longer is he going to talk? And this guy's done more for God than I'll ever do in my life, ever. He's basically evangelized a country. But you don't tell people what they must do. You tell people how much God loves you. You tell people why you should read the Bible, why you should pray, why you should go to church, why you should control your flesh. Not because if you don't, God don't like you, but because if you don't, you're going to separate your heart from God, and God's trying to keep you from trouble. God doesn't tell you to do things because he doesn't like you. God tells you not to do things because he loves you. Every situation I've gotten in that's been corrupt and wrong is because I did the wrong thing. And certain things you got to pay for the rest of your life. Are you listening to me? But see, I was in the same boat. I did people the same way, but I went to grace school. And you'll never get me to sit there and listen to that kind of message. Even though every seven things he talked about was seven things that'll help you, when you put the word every day and must in it, you've caused condemnation to come to the heart of every person in there because there's no way that you can do that every day. If you're alive, there's going to be something that comes up that's going to cause you to not read your Bible that day. Are you listening to me? And the day you don't read your Bible, who's going to come and judge you? You think it's God going to judge you? No, it's the rotten, stinking accuser of the brethren that's going to say, see, and I thought you loved God. No, we got to get people aware of how much God loves us. We got to get people to know that he's not holding our sins against us. He's not mad at us. Even if we mess up, he still loves us. Even if we screw up, he still loves us. Even if we violate his scriptures, he still loves us. He didn't put his wrath on us anymore. He put his wrath on his only begotten Son so he could pour his love on us. People are inclined to do something for you when you want to, not when you have to. And my prayer is that I can preach and teach in such a way that you'll want to read the Bible, that I'll preach and teach in such a way that you'll want to come to church. I'm guessing that I've got that one. I'm guessing you guys are here because you want to, because you certainly don't have to. How many times, how many churches are putting people under condemnation Sunday after Sunday, scolding them for not paying their tithes or not being a regular church attender or not honoring the preacher like they should? That's all a bunch of religious hogwash. And it basically goes down to the fact that this fellow is not epistolated. He loves God and he means well, but he's not epistolated. Epistolated people know that the grace of God has come and it's teaching us to renounce ungodliness and to live soberly and righteously in this present age. It's the grace of God that teaches that. It's not some rule or regulation you present to me. It's the heart of man changed by God himself that causes us to want to be here today. Amen. And that's what you build into people. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Charlie. So, segueing into our next Bible lesson, we're going to cut out all the verbiage and call it sower number two. There's three things that have put me edgeways to the rest of the body of Christ in Sierra Vista, and I don't apologize for it. There's three things. The first two are actually intertwined, so you can look at this as Revelation number two. This is actually intertwined with the sovereignty of God. There's three things that have set me edgeways with the rest of the body of Christ, and while we're not embraced by everybody, and I don't get invited to a lot of public events unless they want me to tell jokes. Amen? No, it's number two. God isn't doing bad things to people. And in that is also captured the concept that the sovereignty of God that's taught in most evangelical churches today is not correct. God's not controlling your life, especially when it comes to evil. He can only control what you allow him to control. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose, therefore choose, therefore choose. What? Life. Who's doing the choosing? Amen. I got another NFL quarterback to pick on. We're going to get to leave Baker Mayfield. He's done. He's probably rehabbing somewhere. Probably in France. Amen. If you make $12 million a year, you can go to France on the Riviera, French Riviera. I got another quarterback to pick on. His name is Patrick Mahomes. Mahomey, who could quite possibly be. Maria, you know I had to get a sports thing in here. That's why I miss Dewey. I miss Dewey. But he could quite possibly turn out to be the greatest quarterback that ever played in the National Football League. And I mean that sincerely. So no disrespect on his football skills. But he won a game against the Baltimore Ravens because the Baltimore Ravens choked. Just like that. They choked like a dog. And so, of course, he gets to get interviewed at the end of the game. And he holds himself out to be a Christian. I won't take that away from him. I did watch a Netflix special on quarterbacks, and he was one of them. And I can tell you that his favorite word starts with F. Use your imagination. It's food. You know, he loves food, kids. He loves food. But that's his favorite word on these Netflix documentaries. And it appears to be his wonderful wife's favorite word. She uses it quite often up in the booth that she sits in with Taylor Swift. How many of you have Taylor Swift fatigue? Huh? How many of you wish you'd do a little less of that red lipstick? Huh? How many of you know she's 34 years old and she still sings songs about teeny boppers? And all the bad men she chooses from the gallery out there. So anyway, I'm not going to take his Christianity away from him. I hope he is a Christian. But they interview him and he says this. He says, God, everybody say God. He says, God gave us a lot of adversity this year. Poor old God. Poor old dumb God, you know. God gave us a lot of adversity this year, but we got through it, and it's made us stronger. Oh, that's that famous, it made us stronger scenario. Sure, God will be with you if something goes bad. Sure, God wants to help you. You know why? Because God's love. God wants to help everybody. And most of the time, it takes something bad to happen to you before you even look to Him. Because we're all self-righteous and self-centered. But God didn't put no more adversity on the Kansas City Chiefs than He put on the Baltimore Ravens. God loves the Baltimore Ravens as much as He loves the Kansas City Chiefs. Amen. I know for a fact He loves the Cincinnati Bengals more than any of them. And Joe Burrow's got a special place in his heart, but hey, you know. And God wanted to teach him a lesson, so he had it. What did he break and get out for the year? What did he have? Arm? Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that pitiful? And people listen to that, and Christians listen to that and go, oh, isn't he so sweet? And then intelligent-minded people listen to that and say, what do I want to do with God? Last week he made somebody a paraplegic, and this week he gave the Kansas City Chiefs all the adversity they can handle. He didn't give anything to anybody. He's good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We just need to make this a proverb. This is what God told me. Here's the simplicity of the gospel. God is love, and He does good. Satan is evil, and he does bad. And it's up to us to choose. And you know what's so pitiful? You know what's so pitiful? It's no different than the rest of the world. You got to convince people that what you're telling them is the truth. Isn't that pitiful? And Jesus Christ was the exact representation of God, and He didn't do anything bad. All right? So, how's that fit in? We're going to go with the sower. The title of this is The Sower, Part 2. So, picking up from last week, we talked about the sower, and let's put up Luke 8:11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Say that, everybody. I didn't have any seeds at my house, but what did I have? So what are my coins representing, kids? What are my coins representing? I can see the excitement. What do these coins represent? Seeds. Thank you, twins. Seeds. Okay? I didn't have any seeds, but I had coins. So what's the seed represent? What does the ground represent? What's the fixed part of the seed, of the parable? What's the fixed part? What doesn't change? The Word of God doesn't change. God's not the variable. God wants us to bear fruit. God is thrilled when His children bear fruit. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. The fixed part of the process is the Word of God. He wants everybody to bear 30, 60, and 100-fold returns. That's the fixed part. The variable part is the heart. It's the heart determines whether or not we produce fruit. Listen to me, everybody, by radio or internet. It's not God. It's the heart that determines whether or not we produce fruit. It's with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Don't doubt in your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Can I get an amen? So Jesus uses the parable of the sower, and He talks about four types of seed. The first seed, remember back in the day, the guy would have the bag, and he had seed in his bag, and he'd just spread seed. He just spread seed. He didn't have a John Deere tractor. He didn't have an International Harvester cultivator. Woo, I'm good, ain't I? All he had was a bag of seeds, and he'd fling the seeds. And some of the seeds fell on the wayside. And that represents the quarters here. Woo! But the birds of the air, the birds of the air, is that easy to get to? Is that easy to get to? The birds of the air came and took the seeds away. So my birds here, one at a time, come up and get you some quarters. Flap your wings, though. Flap them. Come on. Come on. See, the Lord gave me this. He told me how to hang on to children. You're not flapping any wings. Look. Oh, you're going to hear it. Come here. Come here. You're representing the devil. Take a bunch of them. Come on. I want somebody to flap, though. Boy, there's not a lot of conviction in. No, come here. Man, you ain't never been to Mark's house, have you? Huh? Come on. I need to see some wings flapping. I bet I know somebody will flap the wings for me. I bet Charlie will flap his wings. Come on, Charlie, flap them. No, no, come on, get up there. Come all the way down, go all the way to the back and flap them wings. Come on, now come on forward. Come on. Here we go. There's a... Take them all. And share them with you. Share them with all the rest of them. I've already seen your sister make you move from her. Was that easy to get to? The other seed got in the ground, but it didn't get very far in the ground, so it had no root, so it withered away. Jeremy and Jamin, y'all not upset that you're not getting quarters this morning? Jasmine looks a little sad. I don't think you were here for the testimony about Jordan, were you? He's now a regular contributor to Andrew Womack's ministry. I can set you up just lickety-split. It won't take me no time to get you set up. You won't miss it. It's like, do you give money away? If you give it to God, do you miss it? No, you don't miss it. It comes back to you. Both y'all, you start making a living. So, not because you have to, but because you want to. See, Jordan's doing it because he wants to, not because. I bless God, you better put some money in that basket. So it didn't have any root, so it withered away. This one here, it got down in the ground. It got down there. This is where most of us are, right here. Most of us are right here. Most of y'all have gotten through the first two phases. Yeah, I don't think you'd even be here if you hadn't gotten through the first two phases. But this is where most of us are. We've gotten it down in the ground, but we just have a hard time getting it out. We just can't seem to get the seed out. We can't seem to see it produce fruit. We've seen fruit, but we can't see it produce fruit. We haven't been able to see it overflow in this drink of the living water. Are you listening to me? And then there's some of us, and we don't like any of them, that actually bear fruit. I'm joking. Some 30, some 60, and some 100. So let's look at how it's explained by the Lord Jesus himself. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? In other words, if you don't get this, you won't get nothing. And the creator of the universe put it in simple form. He didn't make it a Greek algebraic equation. Amen. It wasn't calculus. It's a sower sowing the seed. Amen. Praise God. The mistake most ministers make is they try to make it too complicated. They try to take it all the way down to the Greek and the Hebrew. And that's good sometimes. But you got to relate it to people so they can understand it. See, put my phrase up, my proverb this morning. Put that up. Is that hard to understand? Can you get that? Can you relate to that? Can every one of us relate to that? Do you help people, Donnie, that you want to help, that you don't have to help? Amen. Do you love employees that want to work for you and don't have to work for you? Boy, there's not very many of them. I've got two girls that's been lying to me for a long time saying they want to work for me. I say, thank you. I want you to keep working for me. I want Teresa to want to be married to me. And I know she does. Amen. Are you listening to me? Is that hard to understand? Can't you relate that to your everyday life? Why did I give that guy money at Fry's? How did he present it that made me want to give it to him? How did he present it that made me want to give it to him? He wasn't holding me to $500 or $600 or $700. He just wanted some water for his kids. And he walked out of there with water and $50. Again, it's a good thing. I went the next day and wrote a $300 check. Boy, he missed it by a day. Missed it by that much. All right, so let's go back to the sower. Here we go. Come on, let's go. Here we go. Next verse, Jordan. Now, Jesus explains it. And I'm giving you, it's in Mark 4. It's in Matthew 13. It's in Luke 8. Mark 4, Matthew 13. I see some people taking notes. And Luke 8. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. when they hear, Satan comes immediately. Say that, everybody. And takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. I told you I need 2 boxes of Kleenex, please. I need 2 boxes of Kleenex. There's one right there, Coco. Who comes immediately? Who doesn't want you to bear fruit? Who doesn't want God to be glorified? Why did he get so mad that Jesus worked miracles and healed people? Because over and over in the gospel, specifically Luke's gospel, when he healed the paralytic, and he told him to pick up his mat and walk. It said the paralytic picked up his mat and walked, and the people glorified God. They didn't glorify God because that guy was paralyzed and had to be carried in by 4 men. They glorified God because Jesus told him to rise, pick up his mat, and walk. The woman in Luke 13 that was bowed down, and Jesus told everybody, that woman that Satan has bound. Listen to this. But Jesus said, this woman right here, she's a seed of Abraham. See, he knew the deal. He said, this woman, she's bowed down. You've seen people like that. She couldn't lift herself up. She was tormented. And Jesus said, this woman who's a seed of Abraham, think of it. He said, think of it. He said, think of it. She's been bound for 18 years by Satan. That's what he said. That's why I know people don't read their Bible. That's what he said. Think of it. This woman's been bound for 18 years. Ought not this woman be loose from her infirmity? And he said, rise up. Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. You know what the Bible says? The people that were controlled by the devil got mad as fire at him and sought to kill him. But the rest of the common people said, they glorified God for all the marvelous things that were done. And somebody said, why are the accounts different? I try to explain this to you. I always use this illustration. If me and Donnie are looking out this window and we see a fender bender, we see a black car collide with a white car and it's got a male in one car and a male in another car, am I going to tell the story exactly the same way? Donnie might focus on the white car. I might focus on the black car. Donnie might focus on the female driving the white car. I might focus on the gentleman driving the black car. That's why God had to have more than one account, because everybody sees things differently as the story is progressing. That's why, have you ever played this game where you start a story and then you pass the story all the way down to the end, and by the end of the time you get to the end of the story's completely changed. So here's how Matthew records it. When anyone, everybody say anyone, hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, what's the devil? In Mark he's called Satan. In Matthew he's called what? I don't even think sovereignty of God possessed people ever would call God the wicked one. If they could just wake up and see the truth and see the Bible. And does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. You run into those people all the time. You tell them this stuff, you look at them, they don't understand it. You can have 5 people, 6 people, 4 people come sit in front row here, listen to me preach. 2 of them will understand it, 3 of them won't. It's the understanding that is required to receive. You got to get it to where you understand it. And that's why you have to repeat the gospel over and over and over, because understanding comes by repetition. What did we use last week as an illustration? What did we use last week? Buffalo Bills, minus 10 degrees in the stadium, minus 27 degrees wind chill factor, and those people were still drinking Bud Light. Now, you can't tell me they really wanted a Bud Light, but they'd heard all their life that this Bud's for you. See, the devil knows about repetition. That's why he loves TV. He loves the internet. Are you listening to me? He loves preachers that put out wrong information. He loves it because repetition creates understanding, and understanding can either be right or understanding can either be wrong. And it takes a quality person to admit that you may not have known something. And the greatest challenge you're going to face is having the courage to be able to withstand the next part of the seed. Everybody listening to me? Let's see how Luke said it. Why are there three different interpretations? Three different people saw it. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. All right, he's called Satan. He's called the wicked one. He's called the devil. Is he ever called God? Is God the variable? Is the word of God fixed? Is it living? Will it produce? Is God glorified when it produces? Is the devil mad when it produces? What's the devil trying to stop more than anything? The word of God. He'll give you all the religion you want. You can show up for light shows. Amen. You can show up for camp meetings and chicken fries. You can show up for all kinds of things and call it church. You actually have never fellowshipped with God unless you bring the word of God into your church services and honor it and commit to it and begin to understand it. If you're going to a church and all they do is talk mumbo jumbo, you're in the wrong place. You need to come and feed your soul with the incorruptible word of the living God. James calls it the perfect law of liberty. It's not the law of death, it's the law of liberty, because it's the word of God that'll set you free. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Where's this all happening? The seed is the word, the ground is the heart. Takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So here we go. Mark says Satan comes immediately and steals it. Matthew says the evil one comes and takes it so they don't understand it. And Luke says he comes so they won't believe it. See, you got to understand, and then once you understand it, you got to believe it. And believing means action. Believing means that you really believe it. Somebody said, how do I know I believe something? How do I know what I believe? Just pay attention to what you're doing every day. Another proverb. How do I know what I believe? Whatever you're doing every day is what you believe. Look at your checkbook. You'll know what you believe. Figure out what TV programs you're watching. You'll know what you believe. Oh, man, I'm sounding like that guy. You must not watch television. No, I don't want you not to watch television because you have to. I want you to not to watch television because you don't want to. Oh, it's hard on my flesh. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you, Jazz. I've made a commitment to dedicate my life more to God. And I tell you what, it's brought tremendous results, but sometimes my flesh gets so mad at me at home. He'll look at that TV, that flesh will look at that TV and say, turn it on. Please turn it on. There's something on there you just need to see. You don't want to be uneducated. You want to know just how rotten Joe Biden is. Well, I just answer back and I say, I already know how rotten Joe Biden is. I've seen that from day one. I saw that before he was even president. You don't have to look very hard to see evil. And I said, you know, if you look that direction and if that doesn't convince you, then all you got to do is look at Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. Turn that TV on. Oh, there's a show on about sports, about golfing. Turn it on. Please turn it on. Oh, isn't it pitiful how weak the flesh is? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, see, one of the things the guy did, and everything the guy said was proper. I promise, everything he said was proper. But here's what he said. Every day you must have a quiet time with God. You can't do that every day. That guy's never been in tax season in his life. But I'm telling you, I've committed to just sitting still, not doing anything, and just letting God speak to me. And my flesh wants to turn that TV on so bad. I want to turn it on so bad. Am I the only one out there? I don't know what your weakness is, but let me tell you this. The devil does not play fair. You can look at each other and say that. He will come at you with what you love the most. for him to put into my head, you know what you need to do this afternoon? You need to go down to Paul's pub and drink with the boys. Well, that'd be like wasting his time. I have no more desire to do that than anything in the world. But if he said to me, you know, he's actually told me some things. God's told me some things and told me to turn the TV on and watch stuff. He has. But the devil's also told me some things. He said, boy, I tell you what, he said, I think they're having a special on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Jordan, turn it on and let's just glance. Now, that's a temptation for me. Should be a temptation for all you men out there. Bless God. If it's not, something's wrong with you. Get your wires fixed. Are you listening to me? He's going to come at you with what you love. Listen very carefully because it's going to lead into the next verse. And most of the time, it's somebody in your family. Come on now. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. He's going to come at you with what you love. Mark 4:16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who when they hear the word, oh, I've been there. How many of you have been there? Who when they hear the word, you mean God wants me healed? Woo! You mean God doesn't want me broke? Woo! You mean God wants me to be the head and not the tail? Woo! When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Woo! Verse 17. Darn it for verse 17. And they have no root. They have no root. I'm going to keep y'all activated. Y'all go, they have no root. Take some money out of there. Come on, sweetie. It's all about taking this morning. Where's Charlie? Yeah. Y'all are being way too great. And grab quarters. I like that. Don't grab pennies. Charlie, the devil's up to his work again. Get your bucket out. That's what happened to the seed. And they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when? Everybody say when. Not if. No if there. When tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. That's why when people come into this congregation and hear the word of God and get excited for Jesus and get saved, that's what Luke said, they believe and get saved, we give them Kleenexes because they'll cry because of the joy of salvation. But then we ought to have another box of Kleenexes because after you've been saved, when tribulation and persecution comes, it's going to make you cry when you know you might have to take a stand against somebody that's told you stuff all your life and you realize that's wrong. And you're going to have to be more committed to what God says than to what they said. And for a time, it may cause conflict. It may cause separation. It will cause division. Jesus said, don't think I came to bring peace between men. I came to bring division. Matthew 10:36. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. You know why that is? That's who you love the most. That's who you're around the most. That's who you trusted the most. God bless my mom and daddy. They told me all they knew, but they didn't know anything. What they knew was wrong. Now, we all kind of got in it together and separated together, but, oh, man, the devil got to my mama. The devil got to my mama. My mama, the first one he got to was my mama because her biggest weakness in her life was the fear of being rejected. And some Baptist woman knocked on her door in the middle of the joy of her salvation. Some Baptist woman knocked on her door and told her, Rosie, you're too young in the Lord to be having prayer meetings at your house. You're too young in the Lord to be worshiping God with these women. You need for me to be in charge of that Bible study. And did you know that wiped her completely out? She folded like a $2 suitcase. And I mean, for years, she became the biggest enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we had in our family. Thank God, God's good. 5 years before she died, she rededicated her life to Jesus, got her back completely healed, and listened to my sermons faithfully, and told my brother that, "Smitty, you're all right with that guitar, but Mark's the preacher in the family." Are you listening to me? Do you understand that? Let's see how Matthew says it. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, gladness." Verse 21, "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises," listen to this, "because of the word." Not because we're spectacular. See, not because we're special, but the devil knows the word is what causes people to be saved. "My Lord," I didn't even put the third thing that I'm against that's made the body of Christ mad at me. The third phrase, Jordan, "people aren't saved." My gosh, y'all let me go right on. People aren't saved by praying. They're saved by hearing the word. Say that. That's the third thing that separated me from the body of Christ. They think you got to pray people into heaven. You got to preach people into heaven. You got to go tell it on the mountain. Say it.
People are saved by prayer. People are saved by hearing the word.
Then I'm going to finish over here in Luke, and I'm going to pick it up next week right here. This is where we'll pick it up. Everybody listening to me? This is where we'll pick it up. Luke says it like this. "But the ones on the rock," because I'm going to tell you how the devil got me. He didn't get me with persecution and tribulation. He didn't get me. I was too hard-headed for that. Here's where he got me. "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." That's what got old daddy, that old temptation thing. Not the group, the temptations, but the word temptations. We're not talking about my girl. We're talking about the rotten, stinking, filthy, lying devil that got temptation to cause me to turn away for 5 years. Don't tell me he's not slick, but also don't tell me that God's greater. Because I've been preaching for 27 years, you nasty, rotten liar. God is greater than you. Can I get an amen? This song that we're going to sing is the gospel. So if you get confused on what to tell people, just send them to this song. Tell them to listen to this song. I got saved by a song. I got saved by "He is Lord, He's risen from the dead, He's Lord." Let's sing that, then we're going to have communion. Praise the Lord. Thank you. That's the gospel in song right there. That's the gospel. You can't say it any better. That was divinely inspired by God in Christ alone. Amen. And you know something? We got a dynamic praise and worship team here. Amen. That lady's good. Praise God. Never sings off key. Amen. All right, let's come up and receive the elements this morning. And let's put the phrase up that I want to. I don't have to put that up as we do communion this morning. Amen. Amen. You know what I believe? I believe every single one of us came up there and got that because you wanted to. That's what I believe. I believe every single one of you came up here and received these elements because you want to. Because you know that this bread represents the body of Christ that was broken for you and me. The sinless, perfect body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that this cup represents His blood that was shed so that we could have eternal redemption. Eternal inheritance. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we got to build into the body of Christ. We want people, man, I want people to get up tomorrow morning and they want to get in the Word of God. They want to pray. Amen. They want to check on me and see how I'm doing. I'm just using me for an example. Because I'm telling you, in your prayer time, God is not going to make it all about you. No, it's one of the things He told me. I said, "Lord," He said, "it's way too much about you, boy. You need to be talking about other people. Pray. See how they're doing. Check on them." Amen. Amen. I appreciate every one of y'all being here this morning, putting money in that bag so we can talk and tell people this good news. As we take the bread, well, this has got two in it, Maria. We've got a faulty fig tree. That's going to be my next series. as we hold this bread up and look at it and realize, see, picture in your mind that this is the body of the Lord Jesus that was broken for you. You have a right to health. You have a right to peace of mind. You have a right to joy. It was given to you by the grace of God. You didn't earn it. Your performance can't make you keep it. God decided to give it to you. Oh, don't burden the church with more performance stuff. Give the church the good news of the grace of God. And performance will take care of itself. If you've actually come in contact with the grace of God, it won't free you to sin. It'll free you from sin. Amen. Say it. Say, Dear Jesus. Dear Father, this bread represents your body that was broken for me. I believe that by your stripes, by your broken body, I am healed. The devil can't have me. I belong to God. And in my heart and in my spirit, I'm totally free. And I command that freedom into my body. And also into your mind. Into your mind as well. The world's gone crazy, but it's been crazy. But God is the God of peace. Your feet are shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How beautiful are you that proclaim the good news of peace. Amen. It's not condemnation. It's not wrath. It's not God's going to get you. It's not I'm better than you, so you need to get in my group. That's not what it's about. It's about the love of God. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. That's what it says in the Epistle of Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God. Get rid of everything that's not the love of God. Amen. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Say this with me. Say, this cup represents the sinless, holy blood of my divine Savior. By that blood, I've been set free forever. And I'm going to share the freedom I have with other people. Because people aren't saved by praying. They're saved by hearing the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for this time. If you're listening by radio and internet, receive Jesus Christ right now. I don't want you to receive him because I'm telling you you have to. I want you to receive him because you want to. The Holy Spirit's revealed in your heart. See, the Holy Spirit's the one that's drawing you to him. The Holy Spirit is drawing you to him because God's not willing for you to perish. And all you got to do is receive Jesus. Say this with me. Say, Dear God, I'm receiving Jesus. He is Lord and Savior. And he died for me. And I receive the fact that he died for me and that he rose again so that I could be free. So by faith, I declare that I'm saved. That seed got in you. The seed got in you. Amen. Get a Bible. Listen to these sermons regularly. And hang around with people that know about the grace of God. Hang around with people that know about the grace of God. Don't hang around with people that are telling you all the thou shalt nots. Tell them, hang around people that are talking about the glorious law of liberty. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Amen.